We're going to talk today briefly about something that we probably all have gone through. We've all worked. And if we haven't worked, we're going to work. We will probably work only a good 40 or 50 years, that's all. But some Christian lessons that we can learn and apply from our jobs. Most of us have worked. Some of us are retired, and we can look back and this would apply. We've got various careers represented here in the audience, but I'm sure that many of these applied to your job, and they all apply to our life as a Christian. One of the lessons we can learn from our jobs, our secular jobs, show up. You know, those of you that own businesses, when an employee doesn't show up, that just kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing. And it's hard to plan for those contingencies. You know, it's the most basic requirement of a job. I don't care what your talent level is. I don't care what you're capable of doing at your job. You don't show up, it doesn't get done. That alone can separate you from many other employees. Just showing up, being able to be counted on, being able to be counted on day in and day out. And then there's those people, not only they don't show, they're the no-call, no-show people. Not only do they not show up, I'm sure we've all had to scramble at our work and make up for when somebody doesn't show up. And then when it's all of a sudden and no call, no show, that's really hard. It's a basic requirement at our job, show up. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 26, we see the writer, he's giving that command, show up. There's no way around that. There's no way to get around the fact that we need to show up. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's one of the reasons why we assemble together. In addition to worshiping our God, in addition to offering prayers, in addition to remembering Jesus and the Lord's Supper, and singing songs of praise, one of the reasons we assemble, because I tell you, we can study the Bible all by our lonesomes in our living room. We can take the Lord's Supper all by ourselves. But you know what? We can't consider one another. We can't stir up love and good works being an island all by yourself. We come together and assemble in order to do that. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And here's a scripture that a lot of people separate from this thought. A lot of people stop right there. But the very next verse, For if we sin willfully, that's not a separate idea. That's not a separate concept. A lot of times we use verse 26 all by itself. This is part of that thought. For if we sin willfully, and how do we do that? The thing that had just been talked about is if we don't stir up love and good works, if we don't assemble together, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That's pretty black and white. Another lesson we can learn is do your best. When you go to your job, do your best. Take pride in what you do. Take pride that after what you've done, you can hold your head up, that it was the best, and whatever your best is, it was the best you had to offer. It is your responsibility. When you are hired, and I was always taught this by my dad, when you're hired, you're making an agreement with that person hiring you to give your best. For whatever the payment is, whatever the salary is, you're agreeing to give your best. If you don't like that, then try to get a raise or go to another job or something. But by being hired, you're saying you will get my best. Amen. Whatever that is. Have you ever worked with people that just kind of, they were clock watchers? Only got 4 more hours till we get off. Instead of counting the days, make the days count. Amen. Get something done and make your presence felt. Because I tell you, if you don't make your presence felt, your absence won't be either. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 23, Paul wrote, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." When we come here, when we do come and assemble together to stir up love and good works amongst each other, when we come to give our worship, do it heartily. When we pray, when we sing, and I shudder to think, could you hear my singing? I'm glad. Man. Oh, that just sends shudders up my spine. Whatever you do, if you sing, sing with love to God. Amen. He's not listening to our voice. Thank goodness. Luke 10. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. When we fulfill a commandment, okay, you want a parade? We've been given the commandment to do that. Good for you. I love this quote, one of my favorite quotes. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more. No one can do more than their duty. You should never wish to do less before God. Matthew 25, in this parable, Jesus ends it up and he says, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Won't that be a glorious thing to have God and Jesus tell us that on that great and glorious day? For them to say, good and well done. Good and well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All that you've worked for will be rewarded now. Another thing we got to remember is we got to do it the way the boss wants. We can't be Naaman, behold, I thought. A lot of time, a lot of effort goes into a company. They want you to do things a certain way. They want you to follow this protocol. It's not a free-willing Marx Brothers approach to everybody just doing zany stuff. There is a reason why the company or the boss wants you to do things this way or in this fashion or in this progression. There's reasons. It takes being submissive to do it the boss's way. A lot of people have a little trouble remembering at work they are the boss. The way they behave, the way they talk to the boss, just the way they carry things out. Sometimes it's important to know your place. And I've maybe shown my age here. The old Burger King ads, remember, have it your way. I'm old, I guess. Some of you remember that. It's not Burger King. John 14:15, Jesus says, if, it's kind of like what you were saying today, Preston, in Bible class, the if and then. If you love me, keep my commandments. Case closed. You say you love me. You say you're a Christian. Keep my commandments. It's simple. Not simple to do, but it's a simple concept to understand. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I know all of our training says to do it this way at work. I thought I'd do it this way. There's a reason why we needed to do it this way. There's a reason why that poster's on the wall at work. There's a reason why you got a manual to follow. Or there's a reason why the boss sent out a memo. Whatever the situation is, we need to do it the way God says, not the way we think. In Revelation 22, and I understand this is talking about this book of Revelation, this letter, but the concept goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Words of Jesus, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The Apostle John, when he inspired the inspired words of Jesus, when he wrote these down, it's talking about the book of Revelation, but the concept goes for us for any inspired scripture, all the way back to Genesis. Another concept that we can learn from jobs, people have various jobs, and it'll go on without you. Have you ever known somebody that they got upset and they quit, and they've made the statement, oh, this business will fold in 2 weeks without me? And And years later, it's still going. But everybody has different jobs. I think of my job at school. We've got teachers. We've got custodians. We've got office staff. We've got the receptionist up at the front office. We've got a school nurse. I think of all the various things that work together to pull a school day off. And that's with any job. With any job. You know, many people contribute to that company. Do your part, and like we were saying earlier, make your presence felt. Have you ever known people that look down on other departments? Or they look down upon other people under the company that does something different than you? Well, I tell you, if supply isn't doing their work, you can't do your work in sales. If the person answering the phone falls down in their job, you don't get the chance for the work. Whatever it is, you got to be humble. That there's lots of different people working together. And as I look out across here, I think of all the things. What I'm doing is one little part. One little part. Lots of people can do this. But you know what? We always have toilet paper in there. We always have water stocked. There's paper to run the bulletins off. We turn on the light bill's been paid. There's visitor cards in the back of the chairs for people to fill out visitor cards or prayer requests. Communion. We've never not had communion. We all work together. Matthew 16, very important fact to remember. Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Need to remember whose church it is. Amen. And why we do what we do. It's Jesus' church, not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. And it kind of makes me wonder when you hear religious groups talking about it's so-and-so's church. Well, what kind of church are you in if it's not Jesus's? I will build my church. 1 Corinthians, even the Apostle Paul, in my opinion, a man that had a pretty hefty responsibility in the first century, did an awful lot. But yet he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I had a little part. But other people did too. Don't get all puffed up. Paul had no small part in the growth of the early church. But he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the growth. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, one of these days this week, if you want to do a little extra reading, read the whole chapter if you want, but from 12 to 31, and it's about the different parts of the body working together, and it will be a good little daily devotional for you. But in verse 12, Paul wrote, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And skipping down to verse 20, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's us. We all have different parts, different roles, and we depend upon each other. And last but not least, represent your job well. The company you work for, represent them well. You may be the first or the only person a customer deals with. That person that answers the phone might be the only person that deals with that company. And how they are received. Your talent or your customer service might make or break a deal. Same thing with us. When we have a visitor, how they're received, how they are perceived by the other members, and what their opinion, they may have the first contact with God or His words through you. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are, an ambassador is a representative of something bigger. Of something bigger. It's not about us. It's how we reflect our God. And Philippians 1:27, this is the verse that Hugh read earlier in our scripture reading. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. That's a military term. I've got some military awards there that the military hands out. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Don't have time to go into all the other things, just some other ideas. Don't quit. Don't quit your job. Don't quit being a Christian. Amen. You can retire from a job. You don't retire. Remain faithful until death. Amen. And you will receive a crown of life. More than don't quit, don't get fired. And you can't expect to get paid without any time or effort. Just some lessons from work. As we go into this new week, these might be some things to keep in mind. Go back and read the rest of that in 1 Corinthians 12. That's a good little devotional time for you. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to break up an assembly without offering an invitation. If you need to repent of sins, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you would like to identify as working and worshiping with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.